worship team. Have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. And today we learn about the doctrine of adoption. The doctrine of adoption. Adoption has touched my family, and I tell you what, it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. Adoption. Man, we're to know that parents chose a child. And understand this, God chooses us as his children. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Last week that we saw where we understand that we as believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It marks us, seals us. He marks us and seals us as a child of God. The difference between a lost person and a saved person is the presence of the Holy Spirit living in them, who guides them and directs them. And today we see the presence of the Holy Spirit living in a person's life marks them as an adopted child into the kingdom of God. As an adopted child into the kingdom of God. Adopted into God's family. It's what we cover today. So last week we learned about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer. Verse 11 from last week says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What a beautiful, beautiful framework of understanding who we are in Christ with the Holy Spirit living in us. Because Jesus lives in us, the old nature is dead and the Spirit lives and reigns in us. The battle goes on with the flesh, not the old nature. The flesh that has been imprinted by the old nature. So the indwelling Holy Spirit is the miraculous sign that we belong to God and that we're his child. So we're adopted, we're grafted into the family of God. We'll see that in Romans 11, through Christ Jesus as Savior. So we not only get mercy from God, which means in Christ, regardless of the list of our sins, Jesus forgives us when we confess and repent of those sins to him. We not only get mercy, but we get blessings from God. So mercy means that we don't get what we do deserve, hell. And grace means that we get what we don't deserve, heaven. So it is a miraculous blessing of God to be adopted through faith into the family of God where we get heaven. We're in the presence of God, his angels, and the saints for all eternity. Let that sink in for just a moment. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, your inheritance is heaven in the presence of God, in the presence of his angels, the presence of all the saints of all ages for all eternity. So this shows how God treats us when we believe upon Jesus as Savior in repentance of our sin, that God does not treat us as second class. No, he gives us full rights as his children. Man, keep that mindset as we walk through this text this morning, verse by verse. Verse 12 through verse 17 here in Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you having not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. A lot of deep and beautiful promises for us as Christians. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today for the writing that Paul gives, inspired by your Holy Spirit, for our growth, for our understanding, for our security as your children. Thank you so much, God, that in adoption we see that you chose us. In adoption, Lord, we see an inheritance. In adoption, we see an intimate closeness with you. Father, let that begin to just pull back the layers in believers' lives. Get to the very core, Lord, that you love us. And you've loved us first. And Lord, you've loved us most. I pray tonight, today, God, that we begin to understand your word on a deeper level. Grow us where you want us to be this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we see here is that we're in debt to the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful debt to have. That we're in debt to the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 13 says, so then, brothers, we're under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, verse 13, for if we are living according to flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death, I like that word putting, it's an active word, putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. That's a process of sanctification. You're putting to death the old and bringing in the new of God. So we have this permanent obligation in Christ to reject sin and pursue holy living. A permanent obligation now is to follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. We have no obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. A lost person, that's his only obligation, is to fulfill whatever his flesh wants. Whatever his mind and imagination can bring out, that's what he's to follow. But as Christians, we have no further obligations to the sinful flesh and its desires. See, as Christians, we live according to the indwelling Spirit who has been given to us by God the Father. Man, that's an enormous privilege. Enormous privilege. And the power of the Holy Spirit in one's life. Listen, every good thing in our life is from God. But sometimes we think we've done it. We get a good job, we're making a little bit of money, put a little, you know, build a nice house, drive some nice vehicles. Well, look what I did. No, man, that's just a blessing from God. Whether you realize it or not. Your heart quits beating, it's all gone. It's all a blessing from God. See, even the power and wisdom to conquer sin in our lives, man, that's all from God. We do not have the power and our own self-will and determination. How good is your self-will and determination? Well, it might get you a little ways for a little while. Try dieting with self-will. I can testify, you might do good for a little while, but old habits seem to creep back in. Man, we need the power of God. See, it's the Spirit who we submit to in his leadership who gives us power to resist temptation and sin. Verse 13 says, but if we who are living by the Spirit, you're putting to death the practices of the body you live in. Listen, Christian, it is a constant putting to death this flesh. It's a process. Theological term is sanctification. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Sanctification begins at that process. It stops when your eyes close in death. It's getting out the things that this old sinful flesh wants and replace it with the things of the Spirit of God. Following the Spirit, it's putting to death the practices, actively putting to death the practices of the body. Putting to death means submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. Not by working harder to do better. See, if we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and His influences, He will put to death, destroy the corrupt inclinations and passions of this body. See, we force a sinful flesh to submit to the Holy Spirit by the power of the Spirit. It's only when we say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to do it. Lord, I'm following you, man. That's where we're at. We just work harder. You know what we're trying to do? Fulfill things under the Mosaic law. We just want to be better people. Just trying to behave ourselves a little bit better so God will be happy with us. Can't do it. See, if we were in our own power, we would become arrogant and spiritual. Man, just think about it. If God let us in our own power try to be holy, you know what? We would begin to think that we're doing it. And we would get arrogant very quickly. Well, look at me. We would think we're better than other people who are still struggling, trying to get along. You know what happens, huh? As you think that you've got it all together, God's going to bring something to you that you're going to fail miserably at. Just to show you, you don't have it all together. God would do that? Absolutely. To make you submit, to make me submit, He'll do it. So Paul tells us here, not only are we born again by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, we must also walk with Christ to grow and pursue holiness in the Lord. Walking with Christ. Under the power of the Spirit of God. The second thing we see here is living as a child of God in the power of the Spirit. Now, I've told you, man, don't get distracted by denominations or people, or I call them fly-by-the-night churches, who think they've got it all together. They're all under the Holy Spirit of God, and they're running around the church, and they're jumping over pews, and they're rolling around like they've got worms and barking like dogs and stuff. That's not the Spirit of God. They have something, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. No, man. Verse 14 and 15 says, for as many are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, or Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So this life in the Spirit, man, it implies a special relationship that we have with God the Father. It means that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Now you think about your own immediate family, your sons, your daughters. Now you think that intimate relationship with all its flaws, think about this relationship we have with God who's perfect. No flaws in Christ. See, not everyone born is a child of God. You hear that a lot of times. Well, we're all just children of God. No, we're not. You've heard me say it before. We're all creations of God. The only ones who are children of God are those who are in Christ. And those who are in Christ by faith, Christ is in them by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells you. See, when we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, what's, Brother Kevin, you said that word regenerate a few times. Well, if you're new here, you probably knew, maybe a new word for you. Regeneration, listen, is this, is when the Holy Spirit comes to you and he makes you spiritually alive because you're spiritually dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your transgressions and sin. The Holy Spirit, in verse 4 and verse 5, Ephesians chapter 2, says, but God makes you alive. The Holy Spirit makes you alive. So you see your sin, and you see the Savior, and by faith, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit of God, it is by that faith that you repent of your sin, believing upon Christ as Savior. You're saved at that moment. That's called being born again. Spiritually, you're born again. That's regeneration. And it's all done by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, no, I chose to follow Jesus. Man, no, God was doing some stuff that you couldn't see. Your choosing is really a response of a gift that God has already given you. How do you know it's a gift? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Where we're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God. Anymore? You see, it's God doing it. It's the Holy Spirit, that moment, that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he transforms us. So we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He makes it effective in our life, and we respond in faith. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. For as many being led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. If you didn't receive a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption, you're adopted in the family of God. A special relationship. He admits us to this close, intimate relationship with God the Father. And we're not subjects. Listen, we're not merely subjects of our celestial king or servants to the master of the universe, but we are children to the Heavenly Father. We relate to God as a child does his own father. There's a nearness and a closeness and intimacy, man, that's unspeakably dear to God. Sometimes I had a hard time grasping that, because I didn't have a great example of a dad. Maybe you do too. But man, Jesus has taught me so much about this relationship with a heavenly Father. See, we're spiritually begotten of him through Christ Jesus and the power and an indwelling of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us. One of the first things the Holy Spirit leads us to is repentance. Christian, get this. Get this. One of the main things you do as a believer is repent literally every day several times. Said, Brother Kevin, I just can't, I don't understand that. Why I repent so much? Because the Holy Spirit's leading you to. Because you're imperfect. You're a sinner saved by grace. And repentance is just part of what we do. And if you're a believer and you're not repenting, it's just building up. See, under the power of the Holy Spirit, with the view of our sin and the view of the Savior, man, we think less of ourselves and much of Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us to discern God's word in order that we may know and grow in the truth. Listen, through the book of Romans, we're going verse by verse. If you don't have any other Bible study you want, won't you go ahead and get in Romans? We're in chapter 8. Go ahead and start reading this week, verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. We finish 8. When you finish 8 this week, go to 9, go to 10, wherever. I'll eventually catch up with you. See, the Holy Spirit leads us to discern God's word in order that we can grow. The Holy Spirit leads us to love God because he loved us first, to love others who may be different than us, and to love who we are in Christ. Holy Spirit leads us to say no to temptations and sin, and we grow in holiness. And the Holy Spirit leads us into useful service for the purpose of God. Let me repeat that one. The Holy Spirit leads us into useful service. So if you're a couch potato Christian in the church, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit lead you into service. You're just watching life go by, and you're not fulfilling the purpose for which God has created you. He's given you gifts and talents to fulfill the purpose for which he's created you, and you're created for the purpose of bringing glory to God with the gifts and talents that you have. Paul says in verse 15, "For you not receive the spirit of slavery leading to fear again." That word spirit here means a dominant habit or a frame of mind. So we have not received a dominant habit or frame of mind of bondage to the system that threatens us under the Mosaic law and under the wretched inability to keep the law of God. Paul said, "Wretched am I." Why is he saying that? Because I've tried tirelessly to keep everything that the law says, and I can't do it. And I've worn myself out. That's what wretched means. I've worn myself trying to be good and be perfect in every second of the day, every moment of the day, and I can't do it. Welcome to the team. So we're not in bondage to that anymore. We're not bondage to this cycle of working tirelessly to keep every aspect of the letter of the law in order to try to earn the righteousness with God, and we still fall short. And man, if you've ever been a part of a church like that, welcome here, where the truth of God's word is really being shared with you. Man, if you're just working and working and working and working trying to earn your way to heaven, you're not going to do it. Jesus paid it all. Cross, he said, it's finished. Everything needed for your salvation and mine, Jesus did it all. Paul said, "Wretched am I, because I can't be good enough. And if you're that person, "Well, I've got Jesus and I go to church, but you know, we've got to do all these other things." Wretched are you who are trying to earn your way to heaven. Would you just simply trust Jesus as Savior? See, we're no longer under that mindset of bondage where our actions and our behaviors and our thoughts and our intentions and our attitude and our imaginations, all that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, were constantly to keep pure before God. You may be better than I am, but I can't do it. Sometimes I find my imagination's not so pure. Sometimes I find my behaviors aren't so good. Sometimes I fall asleep and dream about things I shouldn't be dreaming about. Usually wake up kicking. No, man, we just can't do it perfectly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every moment of the day. Just be perfect where we're pleasing. No, man, just stop that. Get out of that bondage. The Holy Spirit freed us from that. You see, that dominant habit or frame of mind, I don't know about you, but it's just exhausting. It's mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally exhausting. It only leaves us with fear. What's the fear? That we haven't done enough to please God so that He'll let us into heaven. I would hate to know that I went to a church who skipped over that part in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 33, says, I write these things to you who believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you skip over that? How do you skip over that Jesus is telling the Father, you've given them to me and I hold them in my hand and I will lose none of them. How do you sleep at night with that? Well, hope I've done enough today that God would be happy with me. You didn't. I'll tell you the truth right now. You didn't and you can't. You better rely on the Holy Spirit of God in Christ Jesus alone. Verse 15 says, for we have not received this mindset or these habits from God. Well, what did we receive from God? The question comes up. The latter part of verse 15 says, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Spirit of adoption. Man, it's a gift from God. The Spirit of God sealing us and indwelling us, marking us as God's own child by adoption. Purchased through the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed, we're bought back by Jesus' sacrifice, His sacrifice, and we're adopted into the family of God. What a beautiful, beautiful gift. Gene Gibson wrote this. The position of a child of God is so exalted that it seems almost too good to be true. How could one ever imagine that a sinner, saved by God's marvelous grace, is brought to the very highest place in the sight of God? We are complete in the one who has the preeminence of all things. We are complete in the one beloved by the Father, who is worshipped by all the host of heaven. The believer does not have limited acceptance, but rather the highest standing. He is not seen in the imperfection of human failings. He is seen as perfected forever. That comes from Hebrews 10, verse 14. He has been made as acceptable to the Father as the Lord Jesus Himself. Let that resonate a little bit. Just as Jesus is acceptable to the Father, He robes us with His righteousness. He is in us. We are in Him by faith. He dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. We are as acceptable to God, adopted into His family, as Jesus Christ. Now I might want to run around the church a little bit. Man, we're adopted in Christ Jesus, a child of God. Adoption, listen, is one of the primary benefits of the saving work of Jesus Christ applied to the elect of faith. By faith. See, in justification, God validates guilty sinners. Think about it. We've learned a lot here in Romans. In the first part, the doctrine of justification, we covered that a few Sundays. Then the doctrine of imputation, what Jesus did on the cross counts on our behalf. It's transferred to us by faith. Man, now, see, in justification, God vindicates guilty sinners into the divine law court by declaring them righteous in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and repentance of their sins. In adoption, God makes those justified his beloved children, in whom and with whom he dwells. In whom and with whom he dwells. So according to God's covenant promise, believers are made sons and daughters of God. Man, what a promise of redemption. Like justification, adoption into the family of God is permanent, once for all, non-repealable act of God. There's your perseverance of you saints. For you Southern Baptists, there's your once saved, always saved. Once you're adopted into the family of God, it can't be repealed. When you're born into the family of God spiritually, you can't be unborn. Oh, yeah, but Kevin, Brother Kevin, what about those people who walk away from the Lord? They were never in the faith anyway. That's called apostasy. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They sit in the church for years, and then they walk away from God and never return. That's apostasy. They were never of us. That's why they went away from us. See, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption and the basis of his work in this act of redemption. So in adoption, the Holy Spirit brings those who were once enemies of God into the family of God, giving them an eternal inheritance. And listen, because Jesus' sacrificial death and his resurrection, sinners move from the celestial courts of God where they were justified into the living room of God in the celestial palace where we're adopted. Did you catch that? Because some of you look like you hadn't woke up yet. Need another cup of coffee? That you were not only justified in the courts of God, he moved you out of the courtroom into the living room as his child. Some of you still going to be chewing on that about lunchtime. Man, we're adopted into the family of God. Verse 15 says, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Just as Jesus related to his Father with his joyful confidence, we too may approach the Father with confidence because we are in Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us this. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus went to the Father with confidence. Now we can, Christian, because we are in Christ, adopted in his family. Scripture says, go to the Lord with confidence. Child of God can have a relationship with God so close that they cry out, Abba, Father. It's really like saying daddy, daddy, father, father, papa, papa. See, Abba is an Aramaic term meaning father. It is used as a term of tender endearment by a beloved child in an affectionate, close, dependent relationship with their father. Daddy, daddy. You can almost hear a child saying that. Some of you men have worked offshore, you've worked on high lines, you've worked away from home. Man, when you go on for 7, 8, 10 days, 14 days, a month, and you come home, you see, man, you come to that front door, your kids come running, daddy, daddy, daddy's home. You got some money? Our military men and women are deployed overseas, and you've seen some of the videos maybe of them surprising them at their graduation or some kind of get-together, and man, they're there hiding behind, and all of a sudden they step out and reveal their home. Man, it brings tears to your eyes, excitement. They're so happy daddy's home. You can hear the love, the affection and endearment in their address to their dad. See, in the Roman world, the first century AD, who's Paul is writing this letter to, an adopted son was one who was deliberately chosen by his adopted father to carry his name and to inherit his estate. The adopted son was not inferior to a biological son. The adopted son in the first century AD lost all rights to his old family, praise God, and gained new rights to his new family. Nothing from his past counted against him anymore. Bring that into the spiritual realm. When you are adopted into the family of God, you're saved, you're born again, God has adopted you to his family. Old rights of the sin has nothing on you anymore. All that is gone. You have a new family, new rights, and God is your father. Number three, the Holy Spirit testifies that we're children of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. See, Paul puts this pretty straightforward. God's children, born of the Spirit of God, know their status because the Holy Spirit testifies with their spirit that we're a child of God. Now understand this. There are people who wrongly assume they're God's children without the Spirit's testimony. They had an emotional experience. They go to a religious service every week. They feel good when they do things. But they've never been regenerated, touched by the Holy Spirit of God. They've never been broken where they see themselves in need of the Savior. They just joined in what other people were doing and started taking part like that. Maybe they walked an aisle. Maybe they got wet in the baptistry. Maybe they got sprinkled. Maybe something happened. They went through some classes. They raised a hand at a convention or at a camp. And they just worked off everybody's excitement for them. And there's no spirit living inside. So you can't save yourself. Denominationalism can't save yourself. I don't care if you're Baptist, I don't care if you're Catholic, you're Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever you want to call yourself. That's all man-made denominations. There's no saving grace in the denomination of a church. No, you see, there are a lot of people who wrongly assume they're children of God, but the Spirit doesn't testify of it. They're badly mistaken. Matter of fact, they're eternally badly mistaken. May they truly repent and believe upon Christ alone for salvation. And listen, there are also some genuine believers whose minds have been so foggy by the intense spiritual attack on them with grief and illness, and maybe they've even got distracted, maybe even backslidden in sin. And they begin to think, or maybe even believe, that they're not a child of God. Because they don't feel saved. Man, don't go by your feelings. Go by the facts of who God is and who He is in you. What Jesus Christ has did for you, and you have believed upon Him alone for your salvation, knowing that you can't save yourself. Trust God completely. Man, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit indwelt you, and at that very moment, and He lives in you, and He gives testimony that you are a child of God. Repent of whatever has been going on, if it's sinful. Man, if sometimes we just get consumed by grief, we can get consumed by the pressures of life, and we get so foggy in our mind, our emotions are just distorted. We were fatigued, and we're thinking, man, God, where were you at in all this? He's right there with you. Trust Him. He'll clear your mind up. He'll help you process that so you can see He's never left you. The fourth thing we see here is the child of God's responsible, and He has benefits. Verse 17, and if children, if we're child of God, we're also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may be glorified with Him, also be glorified with Him. Because we are in Christ by faith, and He is in us by His Holy Spirit, and we have the privilege of relating to the Father as Jesus does. This makes us heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And in this life, we're called to suffer with Christ. And for His cause, we suffer. So as Christians, man, we're not immune to trials and troubles and suffering and grief, tribulations, all these things. Life happens to us. Yet we do not experience the troubles of life alone. The Lord Jesus is with us. His presence is with us. And because we share in these present sufferings, we also will share in the future glorification. The Holy Spirit was with us when He regenerated us. He made the message effective, the gospel message effective to us. He gave us the gift of faith. We responded to that faith in repentance. He even gave us the gift of repentance. Because the old nature won't repent of itself. It may be remorseful, but it won't be repentant. And He works with us our whole life, regenerating us. He's there with us when we close our eyes in death, sealed, adopted into the family of God. He ushers us there into heaven, where our inheritance, glorification, regeneration, sanctification, glorification. If you've never heard those words, welcome to Seminary 101. Man, our adoption, we will inherit glory where there is no sin and there is no suffering. Back in 1955, Jim Hill, who sang with the Golden Keys Quartet, wrote a song for his mother-in-law, who was ill. And it's a very familiar hymn to us. Here's just a piece of the chorus. You might want to sing it with me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, man. The Holy Spirit adopted us into the family of God, sealed for all eternity. Redemption in the presence of God as our Father, getting to experience the glory in our inheritance with our Heavenly Father. Oh, what a day that will be. Do you know this Jesus as your Savior? Do you really know Him? Are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God? That He is in tune and testifies with your spirit that you're a child of God. If not, man, I'll be here in the front. I'll pray with you. You can accept Christ right there where you're at. How do I do that, Brother Kevin? Man, just agree with God that your sins are wrong. Believe upon Jesus as your Savior. Believe upon Him alone. Not on your good behavior, on Christ alone as your Savior. Man, in repentance of that sin. God already knows what your sins are. Repentance means that you change your mind about them. You agree with Him that they're wrong, and you change your mind about what you have done and what you are doing, and you live for Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, we don't understand the miraculous thing that happens in us at salvation. It's in the spiritual, it's in the supernatural. We think it's all right here with us. And Lord, it's all with You. We're only responding to what You're doing. And Father, I pray tonight, today, if there's someone here who doesn't know You, Lord, that You're dealing with them. Your Holy Spirit is making the gospel message effective in their life. And they believe upon You in the faith that You have given them in repentance of their sin. And Lord, You dwell with them. You abide with them for the rest of their life, testifying with their spirit that they are saved, that they are son or daughter of the living God. Lord, have Your way in our hearts this morning. So we go from this place, we go to our small groups. Lord, be with us. Teach us according to how Your Spirit would lead us to learn and understand. In Jesus' name, amen.